Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Coley Mick, and Steve Perrault.
Up and welcome back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 197, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your first place best team in baseball, Boston Red Sox. My name is Jared Carabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Coley Mick, and he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up, Section 10 in the building?
In the mother fucking building with Mo Vaughn.
Woo!
The hit dog.
The big guy.
The big guy.
The 1995 American League MVP.
Sure was.
He won it.
Can't take it away from him.
Stating the facts here.
You know what else he won?
My heart.
The AL East Division crown, and I forgot to ask him about riding the horse.
Oh, the horse. Fuck.
Well, that's where we're going to have him on again.
We're going to have him on again.
He said he'll come back. And just ask him about the horse.
You don't lead with the horse.
No, you don't.
No, but the horse needs to be in there.
You build to the horse.
Correct.
Yeah.
We didn't build to the horse.
No.
We did. We set a solid foundation for the horse.
For next time.
Yeah.
Like, part two needs to have some thump.
He needs to send me the box clothes first, then we can talk.
He said he was going to.
Yeah, he was. He's going to send Coley some clothes because he's marketing
hashtag
his new
clothes for Coley.
Clothes for makes him sound poor. But no, Mo was great. We talked about a lot of stuff. We touched up on basically everything but the horse.
Yeah, we need to talk about the horse.
Yeah,
I mean, like, there's some things that we didn't talk about. We didn't even mention Nomar.
True, but again,
we didn't mention Pedro.
We set him up
exactly right. Like, Mo is going to be like a recurring guest.
Yeah. If you're listening to this hoping that we talk about the horse, this podcast ain't for you.
Yeah, it's ain't for you.
Hang up.
We get the next one. But recurring guest Mo Vaughn is on today. This is
soon
his first
to be
time.
Recurring guest.
Well, I mean, like, it's, we can call him a recurring guest because we know he's going to be a recurring guest.
Yeah, he can't. He was itching by the end of it. He was like, I wish this conversation wasn't ending.
Yeah. It's a guy I want to come back for the next show.
Though we had a controversy to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get him in studio.
First of all, apologize.
Won't do it.
Apologize.
I want to clear something up here. So, I think, Coley, correct me if I'm wrong, I think everyone assumed I was chewing gum the whole time.
You were.
But, like, so loudly safe. Chewing the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that happened.
All right, we'll check the tape. Now, my point is, there was some pretty equal chewing. Can we say that?
I started after you. I was going to chew off mic.
Oh, who started chewing? You started chewing.
Yeah, I got the gum out, but I didn't start going into the mic.
We're going to have to see who started chewing first.
Wow. I think it was Coley.
No.
I think Coley started chewing first.
I think you started chewing first.
I gave you the gum, and I usually chew gum during the show. We've had zero complaints.
This was a chew.
Yeah, this was a chew for sure. Then I was like eating the microphone chewing once it became a bit. It's called a bit.
Let me know.
It's called a bit.
There are sometimes, and players do this all the time.
I just know comedy company. We did.
I'm not going to tell you what mine is because then you'll do it, but there is like a certain sound that just...
Like nails on a chalkboard type stuff?
Yeah.
Not that specifically.
Not that.
Like,
and I totally get that the chewing...
styrofoam? I could see you being an anti-styrofoam.
Ooh, I hate that.
Nope.
I get that the chewing was obnoxious. Went back... Again, players do this all the time. You might go back, check the tape, like, ooh, let me tweak that. I'm not going to chew on the show anymore.
Yeah, you can't do it.
I'm not chewing gum on the show
anymore.
I apologize.
But I knew the second that it started happening, I was like, this is going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you looked up what ASMR is yet?
What's that?
So no. You could have just said no.
What is that?
No. You're going to look it up. It's your homework.
ASMR?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a thing.
It's like people can't listen to chewing?
No, it's the opposite of that.
They can't. They love it.
Yeah. But it's not just chewing.
Do they get like sexual gratification from it?
You get tingles. Mm. You get like, it just feels good inside.
Mm. Let it be known, no one got this that was listening.
Yeah, no, everyone was very pissed.
They came so hard they haven't been able to say anything yet.
That's true.
Yeah. The detractors are always 10 times louder than the supporters.
That's
I mean, that's a fact. But
hey, it's a bit.
Sorry for chewing.
I'm not. I'll never stop.
Yeah, one out of
I'll
two.
I'll never
apologies.
Log off.
I mean, Coley kind of facilitated the whole thing. Oh, Coley, don't
do it. Come on.
Don't do it.
People turned
it
off left
gum.
And right.
Steve took like 12 pieces.
I took two.
I took zero.
Yeah, I was chewing a measly one piece. Steve's over here chomping.
I think my favorite
like
part of
Mauvin's
this whole thing
horse.
Is that we have footage. So we'll check the tapes.
Yeah,
we
check do. The tape. Just know that Coley facilitated it.
It was my gum. Hand up. Steve was so enamored with
he's
the taste of the gum.
He's admitting to the non-thing that should be admitted to listen, that he started the chewing.
Listen. I didn't put the gum in my mouth to, like, melt it and swallow it. I was going to chew, just not in the mic like I am speaking right now.
So that addresses Gumgate.
Yeah.
Okay. So is Rick Porcello the best hitter in the game?
Has to be.
Who's better? Anybody?
Do they give out Silver Slugger for AL pitchers? They should.
They should.
I think that's the one position they don't.
Well, this year
like, National League pitchers get a Silver Slugger?
Do they?
They have to.
They have to?
Why wouldn't they? They bat. Every fucking game.
Yeah, but so do American League pitchers.
Not every
game.
Just
be like Mad Bum every year.
That's what I would say. Like Levon Hernandez for a while, Mike Hampton.
Yeah.
If not.
Yeah, pitchers do. Yeah, Mike Hampton's won it 5 times.
Okay, no. Then, yeah, Big Porch needs a Silver Slugger.
Big Porch.
Last, you got Wainwright, Arrieta, Mad Bum.
When he digs into the box, he's Big Porch.
Yeah, I mean, he only doubles. He's a doubles machine.
They were
and they're ropes. They're not cheapies.
No,
these aren't bloops.
The
down
Phillies
the line.
Outfield. They were playing on like the infield dirt.
Yeah.
When he stepped up,
ropes.
How the disrespect?
Check the dude's batting average one time.
Bases loaded. Here comes Big Porch against Max Scherzer. Rope.
Oh, another thing for Mo. We should ask him to judge or just like talk about your nicknames. We'll bring up your nicknames.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Is this good? Is this good? Because if you're the hit dog, you know nicknames.
Yeah. Right.
So, again, we set him up for that, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a little nickname talk with him.
Yeah, we did. We did. There was a little nickname talk.
A little nickname talk.
But, dude, Big Porch, I mean, the dive.
I was not thrilled when I saw
that. I didn't like that at all.
I loved it.
You know who else loved it? Fucking Chris Sale.
He did.
Oh, Chris Sale was giddy.
He was very excited to see Big Porch diving in head first.
Sale's only been that excited twice this season, when he caught a pop-up and then when Porcello dove head first in the second.
Yeah. I mean,
it was not a great form on the dive.
It wasn't terrible.
But he like bent down before. Like, yeah. It wasn't a fluid motion.
It was like it diving was like, off a diving board.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Dave. Dave diving and
yeah.
It was not good.
It didn't look all that pretty.
And we've had pitchers get hurt on the base paths in the past. Mm-hmm. So I was like, we kind of need the Porch man.
Yeah, it was mostly just like Clay Buchholz, though.
No, Stephen Wright.
Yeah, Stevie Wright.
Yeah, but he's a fucking bum.
Well,
he's
he not was good. Not a bum then.
Nah, I think he was always a bum. We just didn't know it yet.
Are we? I'm gonna be
like he's like. Where the fuck is that guy?
He's dead again.
He's dead again.
I'm fine with it.
It all started with the pinch running for David Ortiz in Los Angeles.
But like, how the fuck did he get hurt this year? He got hurt like pitching. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, throwing a knuck.
Like, how do you get hurt doing that? Tim Wakefield could probably pitch for the Red Sox tonight.
He probably could.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's try to face. That's one thing that I think we said a couple years ago. I want to face a Wakefield knuckleball. We can make that happen. We'll figure that out.
Wait, what?
I want to face Wakefield.
Yeah, video.
Yeah,
was...
I told you not the last time, but 2 times ago that I was at Fenway, I talked to Wake in the dugout, and he gave me his number, and he showed me how to airdrop on an iPhone. I didn't know how to do that.
Wake's teaching you how to airdrop?
Yeah. Wow. Tim Wakefield showed me how to airdrop on an iPhone.
I would love to make fun of you for that, but the amount of people in this office where we use computers and phones exclusively 24 hours a day, the amount of people who don't know that basic function exists is mind-blowing.
I knew that it exists. I just didn't know how to do it.
You just fucking tap it.
I guess.
A little tap.
Yeah. So he showed me how to airdrop. So now... we have each other's information, and I'm sure we probably could facilitate like a
that'd be a good video
a Tim Wakefield knuckleball challenge.
With you would probably say
Wally catching.
You think you could hit him? Yeah. Obviously, right?
Fuck no.
Okay. Whoa, Jared can't do something.
I'm honest about my abilities.
It's all weather dependent. It's all weather dependent.
What is that about, Steve? Didn't we?
You're
just
honest
like,
about your abilities.
You
yeah,
said
didn't
you'd
we
throw
like
a 6-inning perfect game against everyone in this office?
Yeah,
that's
I
less
would.
Than 24 hours.
There's
ago.
No, there's no one that could touch me in this office.
Someone just has to get a single up the box.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
It sure would.
It's not going to happen.
Let's facilitate that. I would love to see that.
I would love to as well.
Yeah,
like I remember, like the JV baseball team would have me come back after like years after I graduated high school to throw BP against. Like they would be like live BP against the whole team, and the only person that got a hit was like the coach.
That's
so someone did
process.
Get a hit.
The coach, who like plays
like our age
active baseball.
It's confusing like, no that one he was here. Hitting.
Yeah, I mean, like he couldn't let me throw like a perfect game against this whole team.
Yeah, true.
So I guarantee you that if I faced the like if you put together a batting order of this office, I would throw a no hitter, perfect game. I might walk someone because of rust, but no one would get a hit.
Well, I mean, we're gonna find out.
Okay, I'd love to do that. It would be a fucking.
Same. Why can't you go nine? Third time through the order, we start picking up your stuff.
Probably run out of gas.
So you got a good six in you.
Yeah, we got a good seven. I'll throw a high school no hitter.
Okay.
You.
All right. I want to like hit in the top three then, since yeah. I need that third bet.
I told you what the Rockets' last start was, right?
No, I'm sure you're about to.
I gave up a home run to the first batter I faced, oh, yeah, and then I threw a no hitter the rest of the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what if that happened? If you give
so
up
been
a
my
hit,
second no hitter.
If you give up a hit to like the first person, do you just end it or do you keep going?
Nah, I would say that I would just keep going to see what the line would be.
What if by like the third it was like 17 runs?
I mean, that would just never happen. If I gave up a hit to the first batter, it would be like seven innings, one hit, 21 strikeouts.
This is confusing.
We'll find out.
What are you confused by, Steve?
I'm confused at the fact that you think you're going to have 21 Ks against this office. I don't think that's...
Who in this office is capable
it's
of getting
a hit? It's not a fully unathletic office. I think Coley could get a hit off
I
you.
I think you definitely are very much misunderstanding how difficult it is to face live pitching.
To face you? To face like...
What the fuck does that mean?
I think people in this office can get a hit off of you.
Guarantee you, no one gets a hit.
What do you top? What do you top out at?
I haven't faced live pitching in a while. I'll give you that. But I've faced much better pitchers than you, and I've gotten hits
sure,
off.
Sure, but
them.
The fact, like you're discounting
you also haven't
the
faced
layoff.
Live hitting.
You guys are not hitters. You guys are bums.
Listen,
you could probably get me out. I've never been great at hitting, but my point is in this office.
I'll get
someone,
everybody out.
I don't think so.
You gonna feel
what do you? What do
you
top out at? MPH
right now?
Yes,
oh, Jesus.
Probably like high 70s, low 80s.
So, like, he probably tops out at, like, 77. You can hit that.
I can't.
No, I don't think you could.
What's your number two pitch?
Two-seam, four-seam, split, and
like
change-up.
Like, three-seam. This needs to happen now. I really want to see this happen, but you would not.
I'm 100% confident
you
that I would
like
no-hit
nice
the office.
You throw, like, a nice stiff wrist splitter?
I would no-hit this office, Steve.
Well, we're going to find out.
I'm excited to find out.
Do you think
I am
Dave's going to hit?
That's the only person I'm worried about is Dan Katz, and I
no,
don't
I said
think.
Dave.
Oh, Dave, no, I'm not worried about Dave at all.
Dave's not. All right, that's what I was confused about. As I've been confused before about trying to find tickets online to a sports or concert.
I hope we sell tickets to this.
And you can we should sell tickets to this. It would fucking add like 15 miles per hour to the Rockets' velocity. Just having a roaring crowd,
and I bet you could get those tickets at SeatGeek.
Yeah.
Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and
music
fans.
It would easily
fans.
Be like a secondary wait. Ticket market for this. Like
SeatGeek
people would be
all
like,
the price comparison for you.
Buy the tickets,
multiple
and then
ticket
they would be selling them on
you
SeatGeek.
Get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money, bitch. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given that grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, as you should be aware of, our listeners get an instant $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get that $20 off, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter promo code section10, that's section 10. SeatGeek will send you aka take off $20 immediately after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code section10 today. Big coupon, bitch.
I'd know.
Definitely won't strike me out. I was never a big strikeout guy.
Doesn't matter.
Let's just.
You just said you get 21 strikeouts.
I would. I don't know if I get 21 strikeouts, but I know that
no
I
no shit, dude.
Nah, that's not a no shit. There's
no,
no
shit,
legitimate
dude.
Athletes in this office.
No shit. Baseball,
there's no one that can hit a baseball
there
here.
There are a few legitimate athletes in the MLB, so I don't know what that has to do with it.
Wouldn't fights have a chance?
Fights
yes.
would absolutely have a chance.
Fights would have a chance. Dan Katz would have a chance. Maybe Coley would have a chance. That's
I would
it.
Definitely.
Everyone else, would. I would just blow gas by them all day.
The list ain't long. I'll give Jared the list ain't long
yeah,
of athletes,
no
but
legitimate threats.
Someone's getting a hit.
Definitely.
Maybe by an accident.
Not Smitty.
No, his shoulder is like that's the other thing.
Smitty's shoulder's fucked.
People are old. People are hurt. People
not
are
healthy.
Like just like have
injuries.
Just let themselves go.
We've
majority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't be like if I no hit
Henry?
This office, it wouldn't be an accomplishment.
Henry?
No. Very uncoordinated. Would not hit a fastball.
Wow.
All right, let's bookmark this and get to Mo.
Send it over to Mo.
Moe with the bases loaded. And this ball is hit well down the right field line. It's out of here. The Red Sox win it. Moe Vaughn's seventh career grand slam. And the Red Sox win it 9-7.
Now he hits one. A mile to right field. Off the facing of the third deck. And just like that, the Red Sox are back out in front. 3-2.
He hit it off the window pane of the Hard Rock Cafe, and watch this swing. That follow-through will tell you everything you need to know about this one. That's a home run hitter swing right there.
Hits this one to left field. Brian Giles backing up. Back it goes. Back, back. Goodbye. Moe Vaughn has delivered his first postseason hit. Vaughn to right field. Back it goes. Back, 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 back. Goodbye. Home run number two of the day for Vaughn. He said 0 for 14 3 years ago in the postseason was a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moe knows that. That's a fair ball. Benjamin scores. Buford scores. Two-run double for Vaughn, and he's in the record books with seven RBIs.
What a day for Big Mo.
You just hop on my back, New England. I'll take you for a ride.
All right, we are here with three-time All-Star, the 1995 MVP, Moe Vaughn. Also has a Silver Slugger. I can't cut you short there. Also has a Silver Slugger Award. Moe Vaughn in the building. How are you today, sir?
Good. How you guys doing? All right?
We're doing all right. We're doing much better now that you're here. So fill us in on what you've been up to in your post-playing days.
Well, my last venture is what we'll be talking about today is I started a clothing line for Big and Tall. It's MVP Collections. You can find us on MVPCollections.com. You can find us at MVP_USA or on Facebook. But it was a line created just to create a lifestyle look for the Big and Tall customer who I think, you know, up to the point of the inception of MVP, which is actually 2 years ago last week, really is bringing some style, fashion, on-trend looks. It's a one-stop shop. You know, I'm trying to point out right now we're in 40, you know, DXL stores across the country. We have a collaboration coming out 9/11 with King Size Magazine. So, you know, it's one of those things I think is working well. We need more information. We're trying to listen to our customer. But this is definitely a lifestyle brand for the Big and Tall guy, and I definitely think it's needed across the globe, USA, international, the whole nine yards. That's what we're trying to take it to.
Yeah, Coley is a Big and Tall guy, so you're going to have to hook him up with some. He can be literally a walking billboard for you guys.
Yo, you got to give me the sizes. I'll send you something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
there
you go. I mean, XL Tall, Mo. Send them this way.
Okay.
There you go. So I guess the first thing that I really want to ask you is a lot of athletes, after their careers, they don't really take the time to reflect back on their careers. They kind of just move forward with their lives. When you think back on your playing days, especially in Boston, what are some of the first memories that come back for you?
Oh, they're great memories. I mean, first of all, I think what happens when the Sox win in 2004, it has taken all the pressure off any player that's had any major league service, good major league service time in Boston. It just took all the pressure off. It took all the weight. It took all of the years of 1911, 1918, and this stuff. So I was so happy for the 2014, 2014, just for that, because that just gave all us guys with time of service a breath of fresh air. And then for me personally, I hit great in Fenway Park. I love Fenway Park. I've had some of my greatest moments, and that's where my name was actually made, was in Boston. So for that, it's you know, you look at the intensity, you look at the scrutiny. I think all those things made me a better player when I was there. I'm from the East Coast, but I think I thrived under that atmosphere.
What do you remember most about the 99 ALDS? Most specifically, game one, or when you went off with the 98 ALDS, when you kind of went off for 7 RBIs and were just mashing that day. What do you remember most about that?
I would just remember the 1995 division series when I went 0-14. I remember that. I will always remember that vividly as a teaching moment for me. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get back to the playoffs because I wanted to prove to myself that under that situation I could thrive. So for me, the 98, division series was just a one of those things where, you know, you just silence, you know, the negative thoughts in your mind that you could produce under playoff, scrutiny and intensity. And it was just great for me. It was a moment that I always take with me. It's helped me. It'll help my kids. It'll help anybody that I know about, you know, times that are tough and going back and having a redemption that's successful.
Mo, question for you. So you guys essentially were the wave before the wave that kind of got to 04. First off, do you think you get enough credit for kind of leading that, essentially beginning that charge that led up to the World Series? And kind of what is your biggest takeaway from the last couple of years here in Boston? Your last 4 years after the strike were amazing. It was average 40 homers, 120 RBI, think about a 320 average. So what's your biggest memory at the end of your Red Sox career? And do you think you get enough credit for leading that charge that kind of got them eventually to the World Series?
Listen, I don't really worry about the credit. I actually give credit to new ownership. Listen, you can't win a World Series unless ownership wants to win a World Series.
Yeah. Yep.
If there's guys out there that just want to just, you know, cut their checks and or take their losses and write it off, those are the teams that you want to play for. And I think John Henry and his crew came in there and wanted to win the World Series, and they did, and they got the right teams. I mean, listen, the Red Sox never won. We were never the better team. You know, that's just the way that it was. Mm-hmm. And in terms of what I was able to, anything, if there was anything that I was able to help in that process, you know, I'm glad that I did. Like I said, I think all of us, with any time, the Jim Rices, the Carter Strimskys, Louis Tiant, anybody who's a living legend or has a retired number on that facade in right field who played and didn't win a World Series, we are all thankful for that 2014 because that gave us credibility. And then now we got two more, and we can walk around with, you know, anywhere we are with our Boston hats on and have our heads held high. And that's all that it's about.
Mo, I have a really obnoxious request. Are you by a radio right now?
Why? You want me to turn something down?
Do you mind turning it down? We just want to hear you as clearly as possible.
I'm always watching ESPN. All right, I'm always watching the ESPN.
We just want to make sure we hear you as clearly as possible.
No, I hear you.
All right. Oh, wait, Coldy, did you have one that I had? We both had a similar question, the nickname.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hit Dog growing up as a child of the 90s living in Boston, Hit Dog was one of the coolest nicknames, and I would still contend one of the coolest nicknames out there. But I feel like nationally, like Griffey's the Kid gets a lot of play. Where would you rank your nickname in the pantheon of MLB nicknames?
Listen, I think the best nicknames are the guys who have done the most. I mean, I love the Killer Bee, Barry Bonds, right? That's what it's all about, right? You know why? Because he is what he is. So, you know, all those guys, you know, listen, I'm probably mid-level. That's, you know, where I ended up in terms of, you know, history. I'm, mid to low level. So, you know, I didn't, you know, I got hurt and didn't really accomplish totally what I wanted to accomplish. But I think the nicknames come from the guys that have put it up. No doubt.
Too humble, Mo. Far too humble.
Too humble.
Well, it is. Well, it's just what it is. You know, it's you know, I think it's, I don't even know if it's humility, more as it's just being, keeping it real with what's happening. I think, you know, you learn that, you know, as you get older, you learn that as you retire. You learn, you know, I'm a far different person at 50 years old than I was at 40. And, most definitely at 30. So I just think it's more about that than anything.
What does it mean anything to you personally that you were the last Red Sox to wear 42, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so what does that mean anything extra special to you, knowing that it's not necessarily retired for you, but it's retired league-wide, and you were the last guy in Boston to wear it?
It's great, man. You know, first of it being retired is probably the greatest thing. Me being the last guy to wear it is you know, for that reason, is even better. You know, I'm down here in Florida now. I coach a travel team, and I wear that number still. So,
nice.
You know, it's you know, I keep it going now in different ways. But yeah, that's always great. I'm always going to be, you know, involved with that number, teaching people what it means, what it's about. My son plays, you know, now he wears 24 in reverse. So it's always going to be that, and it's always going to be a teaching moment for anybody who asks anything about it. Mm-hmm.
I remember whenever we talk about, like, earliest memories of being a baseball fan, one of the first things that I talk about is that when you signed with the Angels, that was my first experience with free agency. Like, I always mm-hmm. thought as a kid going to Fenway, I was like, well, this guy, like, all these guys are just going to be on the Red Sox forever. Like, these are the Red Sox, and yep. I'm going to come here every year, and these are going to be the players.
For, like, 50 years.
Yeah, like, I'll be coming here with my kids someday, and Mo Vaughn's going to be out
He's
there.
He's in cleanup.
Yeah, like, I just that's what I thought as a kid.
So
when you signed with the Angels, and my dad asked me, he was like, are you going to boo Mo Vaughn when he comes back? I was like, why the fuck would I do that? Yeah. I was like, I love Mo Vaughn. So talk about that free agency process in the offseason, 1998 into 1999. Did you want to come back to the Red Sox, and did they make an honest effort to bring you back to the Red Sox?
Well, here's the number. You know, I was offered $40 million by the Red Sox. I signed for $80 million. Now, which one would you do?
Right, exactly.
So that's just a clear understanding of that. Mm. I think what the problem is that we're young when we come out. We come up with, you know, sometimes some guys come up at 19. You know, Griffey came up at 19 years old, but he had his father who was in the game, so, you know, everything was understood. Sometimes we come up, you know, when we come out of college or when we get called up, we don't understand the business of what business is. And, you know, now that you're older, you can look at, you know, you can see the forest through the trees, who they're really trying to pay, who they're not trying to play, who they're trying to, you know, manipulate in the media, who they're not trying to manipulate in the media. And it's just, it's through maturity. So I think once athletes understand what the business of baseball is, there's, you know, money, there's different things that are happening, there's certain things that they want to do, and start treating themselves like a business, our feelings aren't going to be hurt mm-hmm. so easily. You know what I mean? And,
right.
and that's what we don't understand, because we don't own teams. You know, we're players, and we're like, man, why wouldn't they want to sign me? Why wouldn't they? We take it personally. And I think if we just got some experience on, you know, owning a team, and listen, it's hard to, everybody isn't a billionaire. Everybody doesn't have billionaire access to understand that. But when we start understanding the business of baseball, things are far, you know, far less taken personally, and you can get to the decision that you want to get to.
So I don't think that there's anyone here listening to this right now who blames you for going to the Angels for double the amount that the Red Sox offered you. But, you know, you see the dollar signs, you're like, all right, $80 million versus $40 million. I'm clearly taking the 80. But I guess if you look back on your career, would you have stayed in Boston if you knew that it was going to extend your career for $40 million versus taking the 80 for the way that it sort of went after Boston?
Let's take the numbers away from it.
Yep.
And just say, I wish I had stayed in Boston, because I knew my way around Fenway Park in that batter's box pretty mm-hmm. good. I would have never fell in the dugout and got hurt. Not to say I wouldn't have gotten hurt somewhere else. But, shoot, I might have Hall of Fame numbers right now if I stayed in Boston. So, that's the things that we don't always look at. They always say, you know, is the grass always greener? Is it? And most of us think that it is. You know what I'm saying? That's the experience over the life issue. Listen, I would have loved you. Hall of Famer or not, to say, man, I played my entire career in Boston. Who gets to say that now?
Right.
How important it is. Just like, you know, for me, and, you know, I'm just an opinionate. I'm just, you know, just my opinion. I feel that, like, T.O., you know, whatever point he was trying to make by not showing up to the Hall of Fame, you know, 15 years from now, he's going to wish that he had gone. Was what you're really talking about that important to what you're trying to do? And I think we just don't know that. We're just not, we don't have enough experience to understand, you know, the ramifications of what we're doing long haul and how we're going to feel when it's all said and done.
So I have an interesting question for you, Mo. You played 8 years in Boston, over 1,000 games, probably hundreds of rounds of batting practice. Do you think that Ted Williams actually hit that red seat? And do you think that if you had a metal bat that you could have hit the red seat in your prime?
No and no.
There's no way. David Ortiz went out there with the metal bat and couldn't hit the red seat. Like, there's, it's just not possible.
I went up there because, you get into a ball and you drive the hell out of it. Listen, it's a long way out there anyway, 380. And then you're like, man, I just hit that ball perfectly. And it's landing 30 rows below that. So one day I'm like, let me go out there and see what the hell is going on. So I went out there and I sat in that seat. And I think when Ted hit that ball, the plate was moved up. I do. I think the plate's in a different position than it was when he was playing. I think that's been said. But you can't hit that ball from where the plate is right now. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't shoot it out of a cannon that far.
Do you remember hitting a ball? I think it was 505 feet with the Mets. It was about 3/4 of the way up the scoreboard. Do you remember that, Homer?
Yep, and that ball, I don't know, would have gotten up there. Who knows?
It might have gotten up there, but I guess my question to you is, even if it was 505, the Red Sox probably would have said 501 to keep it one below Ted Williams.
Of course. Listen, you got to keep our great elevated at all times. It's the history of what happened. But you know, also Boston is very, you know, straight up. Like, you know, they're very much into. They want to call what it is, regardless of home or away. They're going to call it is how they see it.
Did you ever get to talk to Ted?
Yeah, when I won the Silver Slugger Award, I went to his house in Florida after. And, you know, you drive up and he's got this house. It's like a windy, you know, like you're going around the mountain. All of a sudden the house comes up. And then there's a big flag with the number 9 on top of the house. And I walk in and I'm able to have, like, you know, a 30-minute one-on-one conversation with him that and I'll never forget. I got a picture of it in my green jacket from the Silver Slugger. I remember when I was in AAA, he came down and yelled at me about taking a first strike fastball and never do that again. So I've had, you know, listen, I was very, very close with Johnny Pesky, and Johnny Pesky was very, very close to Ted. So I've been able to have some one-on-one conversations when I first got to the Red Sox with him.
What were some of the things that you and Ted talked about besides just the first pitch fastball stuff?
He just was very adamant about being aggressive, hitting, not taking pitches, getting through the ball. He was just, let me tell you something, it's like someone who, when you walk in a room, you know, at 6'5", his presence is known. He's you know, he's very boisterous, very, you know, it was just a pleasure to be around him for the short time that I was.
So we asked our listeners if they had any questions for you. We'll have a couple more after this, but just wanted to get to this before I forgot. And this came in from Lav, and he says, what's your favorite Cape League memory?
I think about the Cape all the time. I was fortunate enough to play for the Wareham Gateman.
Just won the championship, actually. Wareham just won a couple days ago.
Good. That's good. That's the way we're supposed to do. I won the championship. I won the championship when I was there.
So yeah, there it is. Keep it going.
No, listen, so congratulations to those guys down there in Wareham. And my memory was, I had Frank Thomas, Tim Sandman, Jeff Bagwell played, up in the league. Chuck Knoblauch was on my team. JT Snow. It was just a barrage of talent at that time in the league. That's what I remember most about it, was all the talent that was there. You know, Eric Wedge was catching. It just was talent you know, all over the place in the league when I was there.
I mean, I think for the most part, a lot of guys that play in the Cape League, I mean, the Cape League is the hidden gem of baseball.
I love that it still is, too. Even though, like,
it's the second best league in the world.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like 20% of Major League Baseball has played in the Cape. And, like, some of the best guys. Chris Sale played for YD. You go down the list. I mean, Lincecum won two Cy Youngs. He played for Harwich. Yeah. I mean, it's the best.
Yeah. So, Mo, you mentioned, obviously, following the 2004 Boston Red Sox, what that meant to you personally and all the other guys that played for the Red Sox in their career. But do you still follow the Red Sox today? Like, are you following what this team has been doing in 2018?
Man, let me tell you something. I'm all Boston Red Sox.
Let's go, Mo.
I got my hat. I wear my hats down here. I live in Boca Raton. There's Red Sox fans all over the place. I go to this V&S deli sometimes on North Federal Highway, and they're all Yankees fans. So, you know, we're going back and forth all the time.
Good.
But I'm excited for them. They got I didn't really realize how good J.D. Drew is. He's probably the best, you know, situational hitter that the Sox have had in a very, very long time. This guy really is pretty good. And Mookie Betts is just phenomenal. All these guys, you know, it's all about knowing your roles. When you have a good team, it's all about knowing your roles. Who gets on? Who gets them over? Who gets them in? Who steals a base? Who strikes them out? Who comes in, you know, as a left-handed reliever? And who closes the door in the night? And I think everybody on the Sox know their roles, and they're doing them. You know, they're not just knowing them, they're doing it. You know, we all were worried about it. I was worried about, you know, Stanton, you know, Judge, and how the hell are we going to get these? Look at us. We're doing pretty good. So I'm excited. We got a real chance this year.
That's right. So coming from a former MVP like yourself, I'm curious who you think the AL MVP should be this year, because it's a very tight race. So do you think it's JD? Do you think it's Mookie? Do you think it's Jose Ramirez? Or are they just going to give it to Mike Trout for reasons I don't understand?
I don't think they'd give it to Mike Trout. He's on a disabled list, even though, you know,
They'll find a way to give it to him.
He's always worthy. And I'm not going to pick between... It's going to be between our two guys. I'm not going to pick between them. You know, I always said Mookie Betts because, you know, he's just a 5'2 guy. Mm-hmm. But listen, man, I've watched JD do some things, so I'm not going to pick anymore. I know the MVP is going to be in Boston.
Okay.
And whoever brings it in, I don't care. Just get it in here and put another, you know, notch of history on our belt.
So here's a question for you, Mo. If either Mookie or JD wins the MVP, do you reach out to them personally as a former member of the Red Sox to win an MVP to congratulate them?
Yeah,
welcome to the Red Sox MVP club.
Listen, it's, you know, I never met Dustin Pedroia. I walked in the clubhouse after he won the MVP, and he came up to me and spoke. And I think it's just an unwritten rule that, you know, listen, we got Red, you got Jim Wright still living, so when we see each other, you know, it's something special to that. So I'm not necessarily sure if I would call them, but I go to spring training every year. So when I see them, I'm definitely going to go in there, and whoever wins, and shake their hands. And I don't even know if you actually speak about it, but it's just an unwritten – listen, it ain't easy to play in Boston. You got to be a tough – you know, you got to be tough, mentally and all, on all levels. So when you're able to accomplish something like that, you know, it's already written what you are.
It's just that unspoken MVP look. You guys just got to look.
It's just the way about us. You know, that's what we work on.
Mo, I got a question for you. I never really thought I'd get the chance to interview her. I remember I went to Mo's Night Out growing up. We used to go to that event. Yep. Yeah, we used to go to that charity event growing up. And I remember you took a picture with me and my brothers. And it was on the front page of the sports section of the Boston Globe. And that meant the world. That was like the greatest picture I've ever taken. I still have that thing. I had this smile on my face, you know, that was as big as could be. But my question to you is, what was your favorite part about running that event? And just kind of what did that mean to you to do that in Boston?
Listen, I my parents were educators. So, you know, being able to affect kids in a positive light or just reach out and do things was all that, you know, I was trying to do. I think for me, you know, if you look at some of those kids today are, you know, 35 years old and they have jobs and they have experiences and they're doing well. I think the ultimate test is when, you know, those kids started a development youth program they were, you know, in their teens. And I think the immediate was when they got a college scholarship or they went on to the next level and they were, you know, those are the things, you know, that's what it's all about. When you can see somebody excel and get better and move into, you know, the everyday sector of life and be successful. It's somewhat similar to what I do with my affordable housing company, but I refurbish, all of our apartments. And all of a sudden, a tenant's life goes from tough to a very decent style of living, and they're appreciative of it. It's the same type thing. So that's, for me, what it was is when I see, you know, these kids, you know, who probably have families now, you know, when they moved on from the development program, went to college, and then they graduated college, that's what it's all about.
Mo, I noticed that you haven't tweeted in over a year. Why is that?
There's no tweeting. There's no social media. I try to stay away from it, you know.
Smart. Very smart.
You know, I think in some instances, I've talked to my friends, I think that's hurt us as a generation, is social media.
You're not wrong.
I think that's right.
I just think it's hurt us. I just think it's given us all a false sense of what we are, what we think we are, and we need to get back to going out and understanding what it takes to be successful. It's hard work. No one's going to give you anything. And that needs to be the approach to life. And I think if we could ever get back to that, this whole world's going to be a better place. But right now, I think we're out of sync. We're on tilt a little bit now with this social media.
Mo, that was deep and 100% accurate. I have one more question for you. How many do you get comps to David Ortiz? And do you see similarities between you and him in terms of how you kind of were the guy in Boston, how you had that presence, that swagger, that build? I mean, your batting stance is as memorable as any of them. Do you get any similarities to Poppy?
Listen, it was great watching him because I could see myself. I was so glad what he turned into be, you know, way better than I could ever be. He's got three world championships. He might be the number two guy in Red Sox history.
Yeah.
In Boston sports history. Two or three. You know, you got Tom Brady now. You know, who's number two? Is it Bill Russell? Is it Bill Russell number one? Is it Bobby Orr? And then where is David Ortiz with his three? Is he second? Is he third? Is he, you know, so I don't know where it stands, but this guy has turned out to be a big time player, a big time, you know, he's on the Mount. He's damn sure on the Mount Rushmore, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just great to see. And if, you know, it's just great to see. And like I said, overall, it's all of us who has any longs, as I said before, time of service. It's great for all of us.
Mo Vaughn, thank you so much for coming on with us here today. Be sure to check out MVP Collections. We're going to have you back because once someone in the Red Sox is going to win the MVP this year, we're going to have you back to sort of break it down, especially when the Red Sox win the World
Series. And thanks for making our childhood more entertaining.
Yeah. That too. Thank you for being like the first guy of guys.
I was like, that's my dude.
Childhood. Mo Vaughn is my guy.
Just hitting fucking bombs into the night sky. That you
haven't landed yet.
I appreciate it, man. And when you want to have me back, just get with me and I'll get back to you, all right?
Yeah,
and don't forget
so
that
much.
Box of clothes. I need to be stunting an MVP.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we got you. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mo.
Thanks, Mo.
Right, bye bye.
Bye. Mo Vaughn. That dude, man.
Move on from Mo Vaughn.
I was a little worried at the beginning. I was like, am I going to have to tell Mo Vaughn to turn his TV down? I really don't want
to
do
that. Yeah, you had to be that guy.
Had to be that guy. But he was cool about it.
There was going
to
be a guy to do it.
Yeah.
It was going
to
be you.
I had to produce one time, and I'm glad that he turned it down.
You did your job.
Did my job. But yeah, as we said earlier, we'll get to the horse thing, dude. We're going to talk about the horse, all right? That one guy that really wanted to hear about that horse.
Yeah.
We'll get to it, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he's recurring guest Mo Vaughn.
Yes.
1995 AL MVP recurring guest of the Section 10 podcast, Mo Vaughn.
When I had asked him about that Mo's Night Out thing, I just got kind of random chills. I'm like, we're talking about Mo Vaughn right now.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Talking
again
to Mo Vaughn about Mo Vaughn.
We're talking... Hey, remember when you did that thing?
Yeah.
That was so cool.
You talked to Mo Vaughn about Mo Vaughn for like a half an hour.
And it was awesome.
He really was just everyone in this room, probably most of the people listening, just like their first, like, that guy's fucking.
That guy's the guy.
And it was like 96 or 95. I was like six at the end of that season. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, this guy is going to be, he's going to be one of the greatest of all time already.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to win MVP every year.
I still believe that's true. Going to Fenway and Mo Vaughn. Like, I tried to, because the Patriots sucked back then, but in my brain, Mo Vaughn was the Ray Bourque of the Red Sox.
Okay.
Like, when I would watch, I was a big Bruins fan growing up, and I would just basically just follow Ray Bourque on the ice. Be like, this is the guy. Like, this is the guy you want to watch. Like, something's going to happen.
Good guy to watch.
This guy. And then you get Mo Vaughn with the Red Sox. This is pre-Nomar, pre-everybody.
Like, it was.
It was. I mean, that 95 team won a division title, but Mo Vaughn was the motherfucking man.
Clemens was still there, right?
Clemens was there until, what, 96? No.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a couple.
Was it 96? No, because he was with the Yankees 95. By 98.
I think it was 96 and then 97, 98 Blue Jays, right? Or 96, 97 Blue
Jays? Because they won it. The Yankees won it in 98. And he didn't win it with them. Yeah, so it was 97, 98 with the Blue Jays, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, and I think he won the Cy Young both those years.
Yes, he sure did.
97, 98 with the Blue Jays. But yeah, and we'll ask Mo Clemens next time. We have a full interview ready for Mo Vaughn.
Yeah.
Completely different than what you just heard.
Yeah,
great thing. Like, you can't really just have, like, we obviously like to not just bring topics up and get through them. We like to dive into them. Mm-hmm. So you can just half an hour from Mo Vaughn. No,
yeah,
full hour.
Full hour of Mo Vaughn. Well, we need to get him in here. Well, here's the other thing too. Here's the other thing too, is now we have the capability to travel and talk to guests, which. Could be a recent development that might be implemented on a regular basis, starting like
semi-regular. I'd say.
I would say, yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
Because the Red Sox,
things we can't control.
Yeah, like road trips,
mm-hmm.
We can't control
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Although
we can,
we could just like stash some.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a homestand and we just.
Ideally, the best, like legitimately the best time to get podcasts with these guys would be like on the team flights.
Yeah.
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 It's like, hey, you're stuck in this fucking tin can with me. Let's talk.
Let's shoot the shit.
Well, that's why. Do we ever say the Remy O'Brien thing?
The what?
The Remy O'Brien thing?
Oh, I don't think we ever officially really said that.
No,
you
never said it all.
That
would
have
said it would have been really funny.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah. So Remy said on the Nesson broadcast something about, like, can anyone help us get from the Bronx to D.C.? And I was like, yeah, I could. Like, I live in Manhattan, and we can get you to D.C. because we're going there for the Red Sox series. And, like, somebody from Nesson actually reached out and they were like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then I asked Dave and Dave greenlit the whole thing. I was like, yeah, can we rent an SUV? Like, we need like a big vehicle for like all the luggage and, you know, the people that are coming. Like, it was all ready to go. And then it fell apart because of, you know.
Scheduling was tough.
It wasn't even scheduling. I think it was just like a liability type thing.
Big time liability.
There's a lot of, well, it also, like, the plan kind of got wheels late in the week, and it's something that needs more than like a week of planning to figure out. But, oh well.
Yeah, I think it was, if we had planned this enough in advance, it would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It would have been like a backseat.
Well, guys.
It would have been like a bang bus without the sex.
Maybe. Maybe.
It would have just
you don't
been
know
like
what would
happen. It would have been like camera focused on like the back seat having an interview and like Barstool Van Talk.
Jared over here assuming no sex was going to happen. That's a big assumption,
right?
Carpool karaoke would have been the more PG.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But you went there.
Barstool Van Talk.
I wonder what kind of O'Brien we would have got. Road trip O'Brien has to be different than studio O'Brien.
Yeah.
Or do you think he only has one speed?
I think he would have been looser. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? He did Kirk Minahan's podcast.
That's true.
And he was looser.
Shout out to Kirk. Hopefully Kirk's doing all right. Kirk's going through some stuff right now. And
sure is.
He is a recurring guest on this show.
Yeah.
So we got you back, Kirk.
So I texted Kirk, and I don't know how to be serious with Kirk.
No, I don't think anyone does.
So I just texted him and I said, Kirk, if you ever need someone to talk to, I'm here for you as your friend, but please just do not call me before 8 a.m. And he said, if I need to call you before 8 a.m., I'm going to do that. And I was like,
that's
fine,
exactly the response you expect.
Fair. So we love Kirk, and we hope that he's
listen, pal,
he's
I'll talk
better.
You off the ledge, but 9 to 5.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Be considerate.
I mean, like business hours.
Yeah. Got to sleep,
for fuck's
bro.
Fuck's sake.
Some more positive news than that.
Yeah. Which is?
The transition.
Breaking also.
Oh! What is it? We need a breaking news. Breaking news!
Disgusting!
Motherfucking breaking news!
Pew, pew, pew! Ruznay Castillo.
Yep.
Just hit an RBI single for his league-leading 139th hit of the season.
He's leading the league in hits.
139.
Greatest triple-A play ever.
Four, he really is.
4-1 like, Norfolk.
He is the Wade Boggs of Pawtucket.
Leading the league in hits. 139 of them.
I mean...
All right, so real quick.
Yeah.
Who has more hits right now than Ruznay Castillo?
Vlad Guerrero Jr., he's pretty good, right? It's gotta be him.
So nobody. This guy is the best AAA player on the planet.
He is.
$500 tickets are totally worth it to see this guy play.
Like, if you think about it, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is like the minor league player that everyone's talking about.
The minor league Babe Ruth right now.
Ruznay Castillo is better than him.
Yeah.
By a lot.
By a lot. How many AAA hits does Vlad Guerrero Jr. have? Like 11?
Yeah.
Wait, then he sucks.
He sucks.
A tenth as many hits.
Sometimes in sports, people forget about the stats.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's as simple as just going to the stats.
Yeah.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. has like 100 less hits than Ruznay Castillo.
Minimum 100.
Yeah, probably more.
Let's see. We'll go to stats by league here. We'll go to AAA batting and... click on hits here. So, I mean, if he has 139 hits, that means he has 2 hits just today alone.
Vladdy Jr. has 16 hits in AAA.
Okay, so Ruznay Castillo has
139
hits. Why? Here's my question. Why are we making such a big deal about Vlad Guerrero Jr. when Ruznay Castillo has... 15 times as many hits as him.
It's an unanswerable question.
Do you think the Blue Jays are going to be spending all offseason trying to unload this bum Guerrero to get Castillo in their lineup?
I mean...
this could be Vernon Wells all over again.
What do the Blue Jays even have that you would trade Ruznay Castillo for?
Nobody. Definitely not Marcus.
They literally don't. They don't.
We need them to like rebuild Rhode Island.
I mean, literally the fact that Ruznay Castillo is the pride of Pawtucket... he might keep the team in Pawtucket just because of the economic outliers.
Real quick on that. People were asking, this actually happened. We had multiple people asking for a Ruznay shirt.
Yeah.
The pride of Pawtucket has some flow to it.
Pride of Pawtucket. He is. He's the Wade Boggs of Pawtucket. He's the pride of Pawtucket. $72 million to me feels like a steal at this point.
I would buy the pride of Pawtucket if I'm a listener.
If you're Ruznay Castillo... at what point do you consider firing your agent for only getting $72 million?
Well, especially, well, granted, he got that from a AAA team.
Yeah, but baseball is baseball.
True.
It's true. Yeah. True. It's what the market dictates.
Yeah. It's not the level, it's just how good you're playing.
And if they're banging out the games every night.
For Castillo Mania.
Yeah. If the money's there, where is his chunk is kind of what I'm asking.
Is he the most underpaid guy in baseball?
Probably.
Who's more underpaid than that guy?
Can't think of him.
$72 million for a guy that just leads the league.
It should
hits.
Be $72 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should.
Or a homestand.
This guy.
Ruznay Castillo is...
baseball.
He exemplifies what it means to be a baseball player.
I think we've, just like the last two shows, successfully marketed Ruznay Castillo better than the MLB has with Mike Trout
for
7 years now.
Why 100%. Isn't Ruznay Castillo on the cover of the Wheaties box? Why isn't Ruznay Castillo on the cover of MLB The Show?
Or Time Magazine for how he's changed the game.
Magazine.
Just as the pride of Pawtucket.
I'm just picturing like SVP leading off SportsCenter tonight. He was like, Castillo.
Castillo did it again.
Castillo fever is sweeping the nation.
This guy. Oh, man.
These are all legitimate questions that needed to be asked, and I feel like no one else is asking them.
Does the Miners have an MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Castillo, if Castillo and like JD or Marcus Lynn bring home the hardware.
Yeah, I think Jim Rice won the AAA MVP award. I'm pretty sure. Look that up, Steve.
AAA MVPs.
I'm pretty sure Jim Rice is like a AAA MVP award winner.
He's about to have some company.
He really fucking is. The ruse dog is about to move on over Jim Ed, because here comes...
Well, there's different leagues, right? We got the Pacific Coast League.
Yeah, it's the International League.
International League.
Like Jim Rice was the International League MVP. I'm 900% sure.
This is a case where it's like I'm actually Googling it. International League.
Mm-hmm.
Reese Hoskins won last year.
Mm.
Starting nine alum, right?
Completely unfair.
Yeah, he is.
Steven Souza, another notable name, won in 2014.
Johnny Peralta, I see.
Yeah, my cousin won it in 04. Victorino won in 05. Wow. Yeah, so I mean, he's on the path to be one of the greatest AAA and MLB players of all time, but they'll probably just keep him in AAA. Let's see, Jim Rice, 74.
Yeah.
The MVP of the International League.
Yep. International League Rookie of the Year and MVP and Triple Crown winner in 1974.
That's pretty good.
It's no Ruzney, but it's decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing I did want to discuss, when you mentioned the Blue Jays there, if we could just have Rick Porcello never face the Blue Jays ever again.
I got some numbers for you, Steve.
I calculated his adjusted Canadian high-low stats.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'd like to hear those.
So adjusted Canadian high-low stats for Rick Porcello is 15-3 with a 3.27 ERA. Mm-hmm. Again, little asterisk, the adjusted Canadian high-low stats take away the two worst starts that you've had against the Canadian team.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows that, but I just wanted to explain for the guys that don't,
right.
Guys and gals. And so, yeah, he's 15-3 with a 3.27.
So Rick Porcello has a 3.27 ERA, a 1.07 WHIP, 129 strikeouts, and 132 innings over 21 starts against teams from the United States.
Yeah.
Which they're the only teams he's going to be facing in the playoffs, so that's all correct. That matters.
So is Porcello now the second best facing United States pitcher in baseball?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers don't lie here, Steve. Because if you look at his numbers against the Toronto Blue Jays, it's bad news.
Yeah, let's just skip over it. It's that bad. Hold it's ugly. On.
I need to...
This is going to hurt.
I need to talk about it.
Okay.
I need to put it out there. He's made 4 starts against the Blue Jays this year, 9.15 ERA, 20 earned runs allowed in 19 2/3 innings, 12 walks.
Bad.
His Canadian ERA is nearing 10. But his American ERA, 3.27, 1.07 WHIP. And if you look back to 2016, the year that he won the Cy Young Award, 3.15 ERA, 1.01 WHIP. So he's basically the American Cy Young.
Yeah. Yeah, so Chris Sale is the American League Cy Young winner.
No, not American League, just American.
The U.S. Cy Young.
Did you hear what I said? Chris Sale is the American League Cy Young winner. Rick Porcello is the American Cy Young.
Yeah.
So we're going to have multiple MVPs.
And multiple Cy Young
winners.
Incredible. What a year.
What a year for the squad.
What a year.
Just writing that out, like Rick Porcello is the American Cy Young. Frat League. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He's the American Cy Young.
He's the United States champion.
Rick Porcello is the United States champion of the world.
So you're going to have Chris Sale is going to win the Cy Young Award. Rick Porcello is going to be the United States champion. You're going to have Mookie Betts is going to win the MVP, and JD Martinez is going to be the Triple Crown winner, and the Red Sox are going to be World Series champions.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Stating the facts.
Those are facts.
Yeah.
If Rick JD Porcello wins the Triple Crown, I don't think Betts has much of a shot anymore at,
well, I mean,
at MVP.
I think he does.
There's a chance.
I think if Mookie Betts still has the highest WAR in baseball.
I don't think he does at the moment.
He does at the moment.
He got it back? Because last night, Ramirez slid ahead of him
for
a second.
Okay. Depends on which one you look at.
This is also infuriating.
I fucking
with
hate
war.
This statistic. Yeah,
yeah. Pick one.
Yeah.
You want to do rapid fire DMs?
No.
Okay.
The Section 10 Podcast is brought to you by Sox Signatures. Sox Signatures is the leader in autographs and game-used memorabilia of tomorrow's Boston baseball stars. Visit SoxSignatures.com today for unique items and the best prices on Sox prospects from Lowell to Pawtucket. Ruzne Castillo.
They've got to have that stuff's going to skyrocket in value over these next few weeks, so get it now.
Use promo code SECTION10 to get 10% off your first order of Ruzne Castillo game-used memorabilia only at Sox Signatures.com.
No.
.com.
So, Sox Signatures right now.
Yeah.
We got a Ruzne Castillo autograph 5x7 card.
Yeah.
We have a Ruzne Castillo straight up autograph card. Mm-hmm. Ruzne Castillo game used 8x10 display.
Wait,
premium.
Hold on. What?
And a Ruzne Castillo 8x10 game used display standard. So we have a game used. Is this a game? Is from a game used jersey? Oh, it's from the camo jersey?
Yeah.
You could have a piece of Ruzne Castillo, the greatest AAA player of all time, his camo jersey, for $15.
$15!
And if you want a smaller piece of that, it's $10. Yeah, I was going to say, get it right now, because if we let our boy Bri over there know, he's going to skyrocket these prices to like $100. So just get it right now.
There's Paw Sox game going on right now, by the way.
Yeah.
Mike Yastrzemski hit a grand slam.
Is he still with the Orioles organization?
Yeah, Norfolk.
Yeah.
If that's the Orioles.
Norfolk Tides, yeah.
Yeah. So
speaking of guys that have been somewhere forever.
This is quite the game.
We got the greatest baseball game of all time going on right now.
Carl Yastrzemski's grandson is with the Orioles organization, and he's squaring off against the Wade Boggs of Pawtucket.
Yep.
Wow. That's...
What a game. Yeah. Folks are out there getting quite the treat today.
Mm. Is this at McCoy?
Completely lost that tweet.
Please hold.
I don't think so.
Speaking of afternoon
down
games.
Down in the DM, bitch!
It goes down in the DM. It goes down in the DM.
Down in the DM, as always, brought to you by Ronald Napkins. They clean...
It is at McCoy.
Oh, wow.
It is at McCoy. Brought to you by Ronald Napkins. They clean your fucking face. This comes in from Brett.
Hey,
he goes, where do you guys think Ricky Two Bags would bat in the Yankees lineup right now? Would he probably be behind Didi Gregorowski and Greg Turd?
Probably third, right?
Yeah, probably third.
I don't know, because he's got some speed out there. You might want him like one
second,
or two.
Yeah. I like him as a number two hitter.
Yeah, because he'll hit a double, so he'll drive in the first guy,
mm-hmm.
and then he's already
set himself up
position.
For the big boppers, which they don't really.
Yeah. Comes in from Annie. Annie, how you doing?
Hey, Annie. Is this a girl?
Yes, yes. What? You know Annie Males?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Annie Males?
Ha
ha! Hey, watching the Orioles the other day, and a drunk yelling mess of a bitch was screaming her ass off behind me. What is the worst person to sit near at a baseball game? Worst kind of person?
The person that asks too many questions.
Yes.
Or, no, I take that back.
All right, I'm using that then.
It's the person that thinks they know what they're talking about but doesn't. Like, they try to tell you, like, things, and they'll just be like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, Ian Kinsler, very good defensive center fielder. You know, if he
that person
makes a lot of
does
plays.
Not exist.
Oh, yeah, he does. That person that thinks that they know everything, but
that
they just
person
don't.
Does. The person who thinks Ian Kinsler plays center does not exist.
Oh, I think that person knows.
There, last week, there was someone that was trying to tell me David Ortiz's last game was in Kansas City, and I was like, Yeah, totally. Sometimes you just got to go along with those people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you like it? Oh, it was so much fun, dude. Like, we were there and yelling, Big Pop. I'm like, I'm sure you were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you were. I'm pissed I missed that.
Yeah.
Damn.
Sitting behind me is probably pretty terrible.
You're big.
Hey, large.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you at a game would be a pretty tame cat, though.
Yeah,
or you're just saying your size.
I'll make some funny comments here and there.
Yeah. You're a big stand-up guy too. I remember watching you at the Celtics game. You were a big stand-up.
Well, I was on the court there. I have to set the tone for the rest of the stadium.
You're on the wood.
That is true.
My least favorite people, specifically at Fenway though, because I've had bad experiences with them, are the people who it's their one trip of the year there. They make like a big day of it. They're usually from like New Hampshire or some other like slack-jaw town out west. Maine. Yeah, Maine. Like these people, it's like they fucking load up the caravan, get like 20 people. Those people don't know how to act and behave themselves amongst civilized humanity.
Mm-hmm.
This comes in from Will. He goes,
"Hey, Will,
where does Mo?" We sent this after we finding out we have Mo. Where does Mo Vaughn rank in your favorite Red Sox players before Pedro Martinez? Basically, his point: guys we saw before the Pedro 99 on. Is Mo number one, or is Nomar?
Mo came before Nomar.
No, I know, but I'm saying Nomar was there in 97.
Oh, yeah.
So, like...
Number two.
Okay. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would really be between them two, Will.
Yeah. I mean, Nomar's number one. I there's a lot of Red Sox fans
Jeff
that like,
in
still
there.
Don't like Nomar.
Yeah, I will
fuck
never...
Fuck those people.
I will never understand those people.
Fuck them.
Like, when I was, like, first growing up, Clemens was my guy, but I've grown to have, like, such disdain for him.
True.
I love Roger Clemens.
Yeah, I know you do. We've talked about it. fucking O'Leary, I did love, but yeah. I don't know about as much as Mo. So Mo's definitely top
Darren Lewis.
Last one of the day comes in from, yeah, worst player ever. Comes in from Billy. He goes, question for the pod.
Oh, Billy!
What actor would you guys cast to play the role of the fan who jumps in the field and throws a rocket to first and ends up in the bigs?
Did you see that movie poster? Yeah.
Shout out. I got to get the name right.
Man.
I saw that and died laughing. I was like, this kid made the movie poster for fan that jumps on the field, throws a rocket to first, and ends up in the bigs. And it's like a legitimate poster.
Yeah, it was strong.
It was strong to quite strong.
Yeah.
Where is
it? It is...
Benjamin...
McAvoy.
Yeah.
Comes in from Benjamin McAvoy.
I mean, that poster is legit.
It's strong. Amazing. You got...
Fan jumps on the field, throws a rocket to first. He ends up in the bigs.
You got what I would presume is like the pitcher being like, what the fuck happened? And then the fans in the background, he's like, I just threw a bullet to first and I ended up in the bigs.
Yeah, he's so much smaller for some reason than the player.
Also, he's wearing a home jersey. The pitcher's wearing a road jersey.
Yeah. I like it.
This is great.
I would,
what was the? I forgot the question.
Who would play the fan?
Oh yeah, who would play the fan?
I'd probably go with Menounos.
Imagine Menounos with that kind of rocket.
Gotta go Menounos.
Probably Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Today's Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd do Joseph Gordon-Levitt just to do another baseball movie since he had Angels in the Outfield.
Imagine if it was Goldberg. From Mighty Ducks.
Not doing much of anything these days.
Well, yeah, you got to give him some work.
Ham Porter still looks like Ham Porter. He doesn't have that kind of arm, though.
No, he doesn't.
Benny the Jet, what do you think he's doing now?
He's still handsome as hell.
Yeah. What was Zac
Wasn't
Efron?
He like a firefighter or something?
Maybe. He's tatted up.
Fucking firefighter.
Fan jumps in the field, throws a rocket to first. He ends up in the bigs.
Two.
I'll take two for that, please.
Give me two. Yeah, that's all we got. Down in the DM, as always, brought to my Ronald.
That's it?
Me in the fucking face. Well, we have more, but we time restraints and shit.
What time restraints?
We're not going to have a five-hour mixtape. Want one more?
People love
those. Yeah, give me a fucking other one.
Easy. Let's see.
Feed me DMs.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Jared.
Yeah.
This is you.
Okay.
Would you rather have Drew Pomeranz be in the starting rotation for the rest of the year... Mm-hmm. Or listen to Steve describe his trip to Ireland for an hour.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's from Daniel.
Oh, fuck.
One's only every, like, 5 days.
That's true. Like, yeah. And, I mean, they've established enough of a record where, like, I can... Yeah, I'll take Pomeranz.
Okay.
Yeah, it's once every 5 days.
Yeah.
It's once every
sometimes
5 days.
Sometimes six.
The grass is, like, so green and the air is so clean.
I chose the other one.
No, I know.
I chose the other one.
I just want you to know the grass is green, the air is clean. And that's all we got for the games.
Give me one more.
Want one more?
Yeah. Let's just do one more.
All right, here we go. We've already gotten the what's the weirdest thing you've seen at Fenway. You see any weird shit this year? Update any weird stuff at Fenway this year?
Mm.
We saw a funny fight last season. or a funny argument.
Oh yeah, like they were like totally breaking up. No, I don't remember seeing anything this year.
No, no one hung like a tarp from the Green Monster.
Yeah, that was
game.
Weird shit.
Yeah, that was fucking bizarre.
They lost a couple times at home. That was pretty weird.
Yeah. There's a point where I went to like 8 games and they lost 7 of them. Like, imagine that in a fucking season where they have like an 800 winning percentage and I just saw like all their losses.
This comes in from Yamil. Yamil's a loyal listener. Shout out, dude. He goes, "What's up, guys? I have a favor to ask. It's my fiance Jessica's 23rd birthday today, and would like you guys to give her a shout out if you can."
What?
If you cannot include the slurp noises, that would be great.
I was going to say, if he's a loyal listener, it's a bold.
Yeah, dude.
He's like walking into the zoo throwing like a seasoned steak into.
I read this wrong. Please make sure to include the slurp noises.
I was going to say, like, why would you ask for a shout out?
And their wedding is in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Congrats. Congrats on the wedding. And now. Hey, Jessica. Just wanna. It's her birthday?
It's her birthday, and she's getting married in 2 weeks.
Hey, Jess. Hey, baby. Just wanted to say, just wanna say happy birthday to you, girl. And I hope that wedding night is everything you hoped it would be. A lot of family, friends. But then after they go home, I just hope you have a good night.
Beating cheeks.
All right, that'll do it for the DMs.
Just one more.
Steve didn't want to read these ones.
This is just random. Normally I haven't planned out. Yeah. These are just random here. Any recommendations on how to cope with our love, Captain PD, not being here to experience this glory with us? It has been kind of weird that Pedroia has just been out of the picture.
I thought that meant Pete Blackburn not being around for
the
season.
Oh, no, P-E-D-E-Y.
It has been weird, but like that's just baseball. You play a game every day, and if you fall out of the loop, then you kind of just move on. Like, think about, like, at the time, imagining a world without David Ortiz was like, I don't want to live in that world. But now it's just like, you know, okay. You know, we have JD now. We got Mookie and moves on. Like, I remember being, I can't picture the Red Sox without Nomar. And then you just move on. That's what old people do, Blue. They die.
And that'll do it.
Yeah.
For the DMs.
Just one more.
Okay. Fine. This comes in from Eli.
Eli,
have you guys ever noticed that Blake Swihart kind of looks like Jared's long lost brother? I disagree with that one, Eli.
I've heard that before, and we also have the same birthday. Did you know that?
No.
We have the same birthday.
Cool.
Also have the same birthday as Koji Uehara.
I have the same exact birthday as DeMarcus Cousins.
And Frankie Borelli, apparently.
Sure. That'll do it.
All right. One more.
Nine. This comes in from Bruce. He goes, my girlfriend of under a year got me third baseline box seats at Fenway for my birthday. Yeah. Is it too early to propose?
I mean,
give her those box seats. If you know. That's what you should do.
Wait, they've been dating for less than a year?
Less than a year.
And she got him box seats?
Actually, let me transition that because I've actually been asked this question before. Like, at what point of dating is okay to then bring her to a game? My buddy used to do it way too early. It would be like second date. He'd buy I'm like, what are you doing?
No. I didn't bring a girl to my seats in Section 10. I think it was 2 years in.
Whoa, okay. I don't think that's the norm, though. I would say a little over a year, maybe.
Yeah.
Get to the second season. Get to the second season.
I think if you meet like before the season starts or at the beginning of the season, by the end of that season.
Okay, I'm down with that. If it's during the season, I'd rather you wait till the next season.
I think it depends. It depends on the girl. Like sometimes you date a girl and like 3 months feels like an eternity. And then sometimes 3 months just feels like, hey, it's
3 months.
Well, that girl, the first one you're mentioning, doesn't sound like you should be with her anymore.
True.
Yeah, that girl sucks.
Sounds like it stinks.
Yeah, she sucks.
I think it also depends, like, type of girl with, like, the game you go to, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not taking, like, a first date. Not, like, a first date. Like, a first time taking a girl to Fenway is,
like, be like a Rays game.
Yeah, Royals. The Rangers.
Yeah, well, granted, now it's like no one's near the Red Sox, so all the teams are kind of scrubby.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, environment-wise, like, even if the Yankees were in last place, it would still be kind of rowdy.
Fight could still break out.
Yeah. In theory.
Mm-hmm.
If they have enough energy.
Ortiz might just start.
That's a boring team to watch
murdering Tanyan Serbs.
True.
Yeah. All right, last one.
No.
Last one.
This comes in from Ted.
Steve's making this question.
He is. Yeah,
can you please, just one more.
Couldn't come up with anything good. Let's see. This is the last one.
This is the last one.
No, I'm serious.
I'm serious.
You think I'm kidding?
No, I don't. This is the last one. I don't want to do another one after this. I already know this one's going to be the last one. I know it's going to be the last one.
Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
This comes in from Evan.
Jessica.
This comes in from Evan. Since we all know the Sox are going to be playing deep into October, how about we get some Section 10 hoodies?
Oh, okay. Also some beanies.
For some reason, I thought he was going to say, like, Halloween costumes.
Let's get some Section 10 Halloween costumes.
What the hell would that look
Evan,
like?
Evan, what's going on here, pal? But no, I'm the idiot.
Since we're going to be playing deep in October, that's when Halloween is.
We need hoodies, we need zip-ups, we need beanies, anything else. Oh,
sweatpants.
Well, we're getting on the bathrobes, too, by the way.
Should we get, like, the college sweatpants that it just, like, says Section 10 down, like, the side of the leg?
Yeah. I like those.
Yeah. Everyone likes those.
Mm-hmm. I'd like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so we got anything else, Steve?
That is all we got.
Okay.
Where are the robes coming?
I haven't ordered them yet. I just have
Are we all getting robes?
I think so.
Good.
Jared, can you summarize the Mo Vaughn interview in 15 seconds?
It was really good.
Coley?
Agree.
That's all we got. We want to cuff you.
Yeah, mama built the saint. Yeah, counting up the O's, I think. Yeah, looking at the O's, I drink. We can't see that on the road, I blank. Yeah, mama built the saint. Yeah, counting up the O's, I think. Yeah, looking at the O's, I drink. We can't see that on the road, I blank.
Huncho. What I bought, what you buy? I'm just looking at this mansion I bought.
Straight cash.
It just came with 15 rooms and a vault.
15.
Ocean in the back, top floor aloft.
Hey,
we gonna slide today. She drowned, swim in the ace. Mop ties, no lace. Putting your niggas in place. Remember back then, I finesse on my face.
Finesse.
Transport, book bag, and a throwaway.
Gone.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Mo.
How are you?
What's going on? This is Jared.
What's up, Jared?
Doing all right. We got Steve and Coley are also here as well.
So, how you doing?
Okay. How you guys doing?
Good. All right.
Much better now.
Yeah.
You ready to roll?
Yep.
Cool.
Mo Vaughn.
What else are we talking about?
What's up?
Should we do 30 minutes?
Rick Porcello, gum and DMs.
Hey, Jill. You know them old sugar daddy. They be tricking, they tell them girls.
I said you can have whatever you like. You like. I said you can have whatever you like. You like. Yeah, yeah. Stacks on deck. Yeah. Patron on ice. Ice. We can pop bottles all night. Baby, you can have whatever you like. You like. I said you can have whatever you like. You like. Yeah, yeah. Late night sex so wet and so tight. I guess up the jet for you tonight. Pick up the telephone, you know it ain't nothing to drop a couple stacks on you. Wanted you can get it, my dear. $5 million home drop business, I swear. Yeah, I want your body, need your body. Long as you got me, you won't need nobody. You want it, I got it, go get it, I buy it. Tell mother broke nigga, be quiet. Stacks on you.
Vacations in the tropics. Everybody know it. I ain't tricking if you got it.